It is a full service lumber yard for you upstate builders, remodels, and handyman. Hey, boy, you got to think about weather and being a factor, and you're going to be out for a little time, and you got some things that you really can't control. And so, as a result, the thing you can't have is delays just with things that are controllable. I'll say control the controllable. Well, Harbin Lumber does that. Every single delivery is going to be with you in time, on time, every single time. And Randy's told me, look, I've been playing days where I'll take him on truck, but you're not going to be sitting around waiting on that. Your labor might be an issue with you. The weather might be an issue with you, but it won't be any of your materials. All the interior products, all the exterior products. Think about that. Because our great friends at Harbin Lumber, harbinlumber.com. Harbin Lumber, remember the number, 353-5053, 353-5053. In case you missed hour number one, Zach, I would say it best like this. It's been an Alabama love fest. We've talked about the Crimson Tide and really just giving them all the credit in the world. I want to mention this. Last night's game, to me, looked an awful lot like... This is their fourth trip to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The first year in the semifinals, they got beat by Ohio State 42-35 in a crazy game. They had a two-touchdown lead, and Ohio State came back. Zeke Elliott had huge games, Cardale Jones had big games, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, Ohio State won that one. The last three semifinal games, though, they destroyed Michigan State. They destroyed Washington. They destroyed Clemson last night. You give Nick Saban and his staff time to prepare, and you give them time to get healthy. And I think you saw it last night. This looked a lot like Alabama's two previous before this, the last two playoff games. Looked a lot like Michigan State and Washington games.
Yeah, listen, last night really would have sucked as a Clemson fan if we weren't a basketball school now. So it was easier from that.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're a basketball school. We're on a basketball season. We're number 25 in the country. See you in the tournament.
Hey, Clemson plays this week, and we'll talk about this. If we can, they'll play at Boston College on Wednesday night. And, man, the Tigers, that'll be the first time ever Brad Brunell's coached a ranked team. Oh, man, a lot to do. We'll talk about that a lot tomorrow. So we'll certainly do that. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. I'll let you pick out a text message or two, Zach, for the folks still that are so used to getting in touch with us with text messages, any of that stuff. We've got some Twitter stuff to get to. Our Twitter feed is at Mickey Pollard, at Mr. Orr24. Georgia Greg reaches us on Twitter and said, just verifying, I don't have to call in and defend Jake Fromm as a quarterback who can lead a top-flight offense anymore. Felt like I banged my head against the wall all this year. I did not see, again, the second half of last night, Zach. So I didn't know. Did Jake Fromm play extremely well?
He had a good game. I mean, he didn't lose the game for Georgia last night. So that's all you can ask out of your true freshman quarterback in the college football semifinal.
Yeah. So I mean, look, and he'll be a big part of Monday night. Jake Fromm has something special about him. He's a competitor and he's smart. And boy, it helps when you give the ball to Sony Michelle and to Nick Chubb. Did I see where Michelle and Chubb, they broke the all-time duo rushing record in state football? And I do know this. I know that Michelle had 181 and Chubb had over 100 yards. So that helps them out. That'd be a big key. Can Alabama stop those two running backs and put pressure on Fromm? Remember, in the one game Georgia lost this year, mm-hmm. It was Fromm that was forced to beat Auburn because it took away the running game. If Alabama can do that, they'll be the national champion. But if Georgia runs the ball and Fromm's able to throw it when he wants to throw it instead of when he has to throw it, then Georgia will win the national championship. I think that's pretty simple. We'll talk about it at a bunch next week. Let me get some more Twitter here. Brad R. says, please let this motivate juniors to come back. Now, that'd be a lot of fun to watch. Yeah, he's probably going to go, but I'm not over watching Christian Wilkins play football at Clemson. And I want what's best for him and his family, but it wouldn't, he's one of my favorite players in Clemson football history, one of the most dynamic personalities that we've ever seen come through here. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to come back, man, look, sign me up for another year of really one of the true difference makers in Clemson football.
He's gone. He's gone, and I think you kind of felt that last night when you're looking at the locker room post-game reactions, the hugs, the tears, the whole nine. He's gone.
Yeah. It's he's a guy who changed it. I can tell you this now. I think I can tell you this now off the year, only on the year. Before he got here, Ben Mills had told me the story that he was in Thad Turnipseed's office and looked up and the recruiting board was in there. And Ben knows, didn't at the time didn't know anything about any players or anything. Wasn't in it for he was doing some other stuff. And of the entire recruiting board, this is before Wilkins committed to Clemson, his name was up there and there was red markers up and it had circled and been red Sharpie, his name. And Ben asked Thad, who's that? And he goes, it's Christian Wilkins. He goes, why is his name circled like that? He goes, because that's the difference in national championship or not.
No
way.
It
turned out that turn. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. True story. And look, it is on the field because he's truly – remember when our defensive line list for the all-time greats in Clemson history? Look, he's truly a great player. But I think more than that, it's it's what he meant. Besides, the plays that he makes, is on the field, is his leadership, his personality. If he wants to come back, well, we'd gladly do that. Parker writes in on Twitter, Alabama rushed only 4 on 70% of their offensive snaps and consistently beat our offensive linemen. What changed from last year? Even Hyatt looked lost sometimes. What changed is several things. One, if you go back and look at the game, I've watched Clemson, Alabama last year 40 times. I don't know, 30 or 40 times. Deshaun Watson's pocket presence, the clock inside of his head, he took a beating, but stepping up in the pocket, certainly was a difference. Two, the protection from the running back. Wayne Gallman stuck his nose up in there and protected Deshaun Watson unbelievably well. And last night, if you go back and just watch on the first interception, the biggest play of the game, as good as he is, ETN stepped up in the pocket rather than stepping out and blocking. I think Jennings was the oncoming blitzer. Might not have been, but I think it's Jennings anyway. And so at that point in time, the arm was caused, was hit, and the ball goes into Deron Payne's arms. So Gallman was much better at protecting. Clemson does not max protect, and they send the receivers out. So the running back is in charge of that. And we talked about it all year long, how important that was. Zach, is it crazy to think that we agree that was the biggest play of the game, right?
Yes.
All right. ETN's the best running back you've got.
Correct.
But his pass protection last night and his failure to protect on the outside of the right side of the line, he missed his assignment there that mm-hmm. we know of. Mm-hmm. And that missed block caused the biggest play of the game. So we talk about it all the time. And as fans, boy, we want to just rip. But why are we playing that guy? Why are we playing that? Well, you got to play this guy more. Well, you know what? That's why. He's a freshman and didn't make the right play. He'll get better, but he didn't make the right play there. And then thirdly, the thing that changed from last year and even last 2 years of getting over 1,100 yards against Alabama was that Clemson's big physical receivers that they missed and the 50-50 balls and the downfield passing balls, the back shoulder throws, Deion Kane couldn't make the plays last night that Mike Williams made downfield. And the tight end this year, we knew going in, we talked about this in last year in February, March, April, May, June, July, and August, mm-hmm. that you're going to miss Jordan Leggett stretching the field, that Mylon Richard, and then he had the Garrett Williams injury in the spring. Those guys aren't – it's a different style than what Jordan Leggett brought. The same thing that way Kelly Bryant was a different style than what Deshaun Watson brought. So with all that, that meant he had to run the ball and run it more effectively, and Clemson could not run the ball last night. But so all those things – ended up seeing why Clemson's offensive line. And besides that, the offensive line didn't play well. I think Robbie Caldwell will be the first to tell you that Hyatt didn't play his best game. Hearn, Falsinelli missed whiffed a guy a couple times in there too. And you're trying to block a completely different thing there, animal there.
What did Alabama see in the return game last night where they kicked ETN on the left side in the corner every single time?
Well, one of the biggest differences there, look, there's a difference in the special teams too. The punting at Alabama, and the guy's been there. My God, Scott's been there forever. He was there when Stedman Sheely was there, and Major Ogilvy were there, it seemed like. But their punt and their hang times on their punt, when they did have to punt, meant no return, whereas Clemson didn't punt it as far and punt it lower with a freshman in there who's not as talented. So Alabama had a difference there. One of the major differences in the return game last night, and Clemson didn't kick it off but three times, but when Alabama kept kicking it off, is that they had tremendous height on the ball. We sat on the sixth row last night, and this massive facility, the Superdome facility, has got this huge Mercedes-Benz logo up top of it. And when he kicked this ball off from where our seats were, it was like, man, this ball's soaring through the air with great height on it. And it gives their guys a line. Go back and watch the film again and notice what yard line, when Clemson kicks the ball off, what yard line the most of the defenders are when the Alabama guy touches the ball near the goal line. Or actually on the goal line, about the 5-yard line. And then notice where Alabama defenders are for the first time the ETN touches the ball. And it's just it's about 10 yards difference. And so the height of the kickoffs make a huge difference. The best I've ever seen at it was the Florida State during their national championship year. But, boy, Alabama's got some weapons there. And I think it'll be a big key. Tomorrow, on Monday night, we'll talk about field position an awful lot coming up next week, because these two defenses are good enough at shutting down some runs. You got to have some field flippers. I thought last night, Zach, I really felt like that the field position was one of the biggest issues in the game. And let's look at it from the opening drives. Clemson gets the ball to start the game. They start at their own 16-yard line and go three and out. The next time, Alabama gets it at their own 46-yard line and go three and out. Well, Clemson punts it down. I mean, Alabama punts it down, and the Tigers take over at their own 16-yard line again and go three and out. And Alabama takes over at their own 47 again. So right there at the 46 and 47-yard line and get a field goal out of it. Clemson takes over at their own 24-yard line and is forced to punt. A bad punt. Alabama takes over the Clemson 46-yard line, a 46-yard drive, and it's 10-0. Alabama starts at midfield for their first three drives. Clemson starts the next drive at the 19-yard line, the 10-yard line, the 20-yard line. So in the first half, the field position for the, let me see here, 6 Clemson drives where they're on 16, they're on 16, they're on 24, they're on 19, they're on 10, they're on 20-yard lines. Now, on top of that, once they do flip the field, they do get the ball on the first play of the second half at the 20-yard line. They only get a field goal out of it. The field position was better for most of the second half. Not great still. Next drive, 32-yard line. They're on 13. They're on 25. They're on 5. They're on 25. They're on 20. And if you're thinking you're going to get the ball and drive it down the field against that defense, you're sadly mistaken. So, bear with me a second. How many offensive drives did they have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Clemson had 13 drives last night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 of the 13 drives start in the 25-yard line or inside their own 25-yard line. 11, if you wanted a touchdown last night, and 11 of the 13 drives Clemson had the ball, they had to drive at least 75 yards. And it wasn't going to happen. So, you know, we never talk field position. Again, we don't say whatever, but we hardly ever talk field position. But Nick Saban was a master at it last night. In the meantime, Alabama starts their own 46, their own 47, that's midfield, Clemson 46. At the 15, their own 41, the 22, the 27, Clemson's 27-yard line. The pick six, they obviously don't start there. The 47, 31, the 41, and then the last drive down the 6-yard line after turnover on downs. So, Zach, I think it's pretty easy to see field position was as big a factor as anything else in the game last night.
It was huge in the game. It was everything in the game in the first half. And by the time you started to get some more favorable field position in the second, it was a little too late. At the beginning of that game, you had just rattled off the starting field position for the Tigers. Compared to Alabama, who was on damn near in Clemson territory every time they got the ball in the first half,
yeah.
It's tough to win games like that. And listen, Spires was good. He wasn't great last night, and it hurt Clemson in the long run. There obviously a ton of other things happened in that game, but that was one of the areas where you expect to be better, and he's proved he can be better throughout the season. So it was tough to watch that from a Clemson standpoint.
When we talk here about the keys to the game, the key sequences to the game, Alabama comes out to start the second half. On the very first play, they fumble. Joseph recovers the fumble. Hurts is trying to give it to Damon Harris. And let me mention this quickly, Zach. What happened to Bo Scarborough? He was incredible last year. I told you going into the game, he's nowhere near the same.
Think he's banged up?
He just looks slow. Just looks. I mean, he's not the factor they thought he'd be. Anyway, so the fumble there. Three plays, they lose 5 yards, and hold Clemson to a field goal. A lot of momentum coming out of that. Clemson then holds Alabama to a 3-and-out at their own 30. You know, they get it up to 4th-and-7 on 30-yard line. They punt it. Clemson takes over 32-yard line. Deion Kane for 11-yard pass gets it to the 43. And after an incomplete pass, Etienne rushes for 8 yards. On 3rd-and-2, Bryant scrambles for a first down, gets it out to the Alabama 49-yard line. They go for 6 yards down to the 43-yard line. You rush for 8 yards. You're at the Alabama 35 on 2nd-and-2. You're down 10-6. You just scored, and you got the ball at the 2nd-and-2 at the Alabama 35-yard line. And all the momentum in the world in the game for the first time in the game, 35 yards away from taking the lead. On 2nd-and-2, they throw a pass. The ball's picked. That's the only time I've really questioned the offensive staff all year long. 2nd-and-2 with the momentum, man, run the football right there. Makes sense? Hindsight.
100%. And you know, how many times have we talked about, you know, the offensive staff, this is their job, trust them, yada, yada, yada. We talked about it 1,000 times. I did the same exact reaction, and I think I even tweeted about it last night. Trust them, but, woof, that was some tough play calling on that particular series.
Yeah, that was one where hindsight tells you, man, just get the ball. You got the momentum, man. Just keep that thing going, and who knows what can come out of that. All right, I want to tell you about Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. I do know what can come out of this. You can get a better coverage. You can get actually better rates. You can refinance your home. You can remodel your home, or if you're buying a home for the first time, I want you to think about Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. Here's what you're talking about: great people with great rates. You know, an 800 company, a .com company. One of the advantages in this big, huge superstore type buy would be rates. That's the only reason you do it. You go to your local stores if you didn't have to think about the big box and the buying power of those. Well, that doesn't happen in the mortgage industry. These guys can give you just as good as rates, if not better, and you're going to get it from people that down home, that personal touch. They'll be there with you at your closing. They're going to help you out through everything. It's the great friends here locally. They can help you out. Go to PrimeLendingSC.com. There's a local branch near you that can help you when you buy a home, when you refinance your home, or when you remodel a home. It's our great friends at Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll open up phone lines. A Reaction Tuesday. What did you think? I guess people are going back to work today. If you are going, you hadn't seen it yet. Very, very cold temperatures in the upstate of South Carolina. Be very careful getting out and taking care of that. We'll come back for more. It's the Mickey Plotter Show from New Orleans, Louisiana. More right after this.
No matter where you're going, you'll see hundreds of convenience stores along your route. What sets Locomart in Clemson apart? Quality gasoline at awesome prices? Yes. Rewards to help you save even more money? Yes. But you'll also find a huge craft beer selection at Locomart that you wouldn't find at a normal convenience store. There's only one stop you need to make. Locomart on Old Greenville Highway and Highway 123. Proudly locally owned and operated. Marathon. Fueling the American spirit.
Anything that's made just for you is a perfect fit, right? Like a tailored suit. It fits your measurements. No one else's. That same kind of fit is exactly what Engineered Sleep strives for. A mattress made just for you, built to your sleeping patterns and habits. What could be more important than a good night's rest? Engineered Sleep wants to make it a perfect night's rest. If after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process. Learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there is no middleman. Factory to you! And you can score a significant discount by picking up your mattress instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
Meet Chris, a real person who took the Health Dare 90 Day program.
Hi, my name's Chris, 39, husband, father, talk radio listener. I heard about it on the radio, listening in to some of the morning shows. It sounded like a plan that was doable. Incredibly skeptical. Tried countless weight loss programs before, and I decided, you know, after a while of going back and forth, to finally come in and have the consultation. It all came down to seeing a picture of me and my family. You know, I'd gotten to a very unhealthy weight. I was pretty much desperate at that point. Figured I'd give it a shot. It really wasn't as difficult as I thought it was going to be. The 90 days, I had lost 64 pounds and 54 inches. Well, the Health Air, it's given me the opportunity to be a better dad. After taking the Health Air, it's given me the energy to play around with my son and be the dad that I've wanted to be.
Don't wait. Book your free consultation with the Health Dare today by going to iDareGreenville.com. That's iDareGreenville.com.
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
Why shop Reed's Jewelers? Better yet, why not? Reed's Jewelers invites you to make them your jeweler, and you'll soon discover why so many like you now shop Reed's. From their award-winning staff to their impressive selection of jewelry to their customer-friendly financing, Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, invites you to join the thousands of customers who have started a relationship with them. We'd love to see you. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk, online at Reed's.com.
Weiler Show is on the air.
These guys just thrive on pushing the limits.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Vicki and Zach.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Our friends at Harry's had a great Christmas season. I hope you did as well. There's a lot of things going on. You know, at Harry's, I shave. You know, Zach, one of my game day traditions is to shave. And I know why Clemson lost last night.
You didn't shave, did you?
No, I shaved. I had a full little beard going because last time I shaved was a Miami game, but I shaved, but I forgot to put on my post-shave balm, and we got back to the hotel. My wife's like, it's your fault. I went, you're right, sweetheart. It's my fault. Save more, spend less, get in touch with our great friends. I love Harry's Razors. I love the quality of it, love the price of it. And right now, a free trial for anyone that has not tried it before. The weighted ergonomic handle, the five precision engineered blades, the lubricating strip, the trimmer blade, the rich lathering shave gel, the convenient blade cover. For all those that are still on the fence, they've got a 100% money back guarantee. Harry's is so confident that you'll love their blades that they want you to try your first shave set for free. You heard me right. Just cover the shipping. They'll take care of the rest at Harry's. Plus, as a special gift for fans of the show right now, Harry's, go to harrys.com and enter the promo code Mickey at checkout and get that soothing post-shave balm for free as well. That's harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and put in the promo code Mickey, M-I-C-K-E-Y. Let's get back to our phone lines here. Want to hear from you on a Reaction Tuesday. Oh, by the way, I mentioned this. Tomorrow, Tony Morrell is supposed to come on Tuesdays because we're backing up a day due to the holidays and all. Tony has been gracious enough to join us tomorrow to discuss South Carolina's win against Michigan and the offensive coordinator in South Carolina and moving forward with recruiting. So I appreciate him stepping aside today and joining us tomorrow at 8:05. James is in Sumter on our Northland Communication phone line, 654-ROAR. Good morning, James. Thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Good morning. How you doing, sir?
I'm great. I hope you are, too.
Doing wonderful. It's a couple of things. I don't want to knock Alabama at all because, my God, I mean, they probably would have won the game anyway because they wanted it more. You could probably tell by their demeanor last week, we were just happy to be there, and they treated it as a business trip. So that was one thing. But I swear, Mick, it's like the officials didn't give us a break last night. We didn't get any calls. On that touchdown, every Alabama fan that I know was just crying and hooting about the play last year when it's a borderline call. That touchdown last night, my God, the defensive tackle actually tackled two of our players. Like it was a running play. The official looked right at it. Didn't call anything. Okay? On the pass interference call against Trevion Mullen, I mean, that's made probably 20 times in a game he called against Trevion. The same position against T, the kid held his arm down. No call. on Deion. Now, that's mainly my position that when I played, and that's, granted, this is high school. You get that 5 yards. However, you're not allowed to hold the receiver back. Now, it's the receiver's job to get in front of you and show, but you can't pull the receiver back and get in front of him. And it was no call. And the last thing, they called on number 7. He lined up in a neutral zone. And I made it a point to look at it last night. Alabama players lined up in the neutral zone at least 4 or 5 times, and they would not one person called it. At least give the appearance that you're trying to call it. It's like they were intimidated.
Totally agree with that. I agree with that. There's an LSU fan or 2 LSU fans sitting in front of us last night, and I said something about the officiating. He said, "Man, I agree." Now again, it's not the difference in the game, and you stated that earlier, but the neutral zone stuff. You can call that on every single play, but they caught it twice on Clemson against Alabama. And at key times against Clemson, too, on 3rd down against Clemson, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was not good. It was not a fairly officiated game, no doubt. No doubt.
No. I mean, and the thing is, you're going to see the national media all day acting like Alabama. I mean, the thing is, these things steamroll in a game. Momentum shifts in a game. If they were to call that PI, I mean, it's an obvious PI. I can see if you got a wide receiver that just gets in the way and just show himself to the quarterback to appear as if he is coming out for the pass. But this guy actually runs and hugs 2 of our players and knocks them down. And no call.
I saw it. I saw it. I tell you, even on the first drive, Hunter Renfro's the first throw. The defense back hits Renfro before the ball. And this is something small. But when you lose, you notice things like this. When a replay would go in Clemson's way, I looked at my wife and went, "He looks like depressed that he's got to go make Clemson's call on this thing." He's like, "Yeah,
exactly."
But anyway,
the thing is, they probably would have won anyway. However, just give the appearance, okay? And that's all I care about. Just give the appearance. And you won't hear one person in the media talk about that. And they'll say, "It wouldn't make a difference." That made a big difference. If they're at the 2-yard line, that's a PI, that's 10, 15 yards. They're at the 15-yard line. And guess they might have missed that field goal. And it's a totally different game.
Yeah, might have a different game. There's no doubt about it.
Exactly, man. All right, you guys have a great one.
Thanks, James. I appreciate the phone call. On Mullen's pass interference, he did everything that he just got to do. He turned around. He found the ball. He batted the ball before it got to the defense for the wide receiver. Just a blatantly bad call there. I think I'm pretty clear about that. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Again, I think James prefaced it by saying that, you know, Alabama's a better team, would have won anyway. But as a Clemson fan, you could be upset by that. I don't think there's any problem by that. And I'm sure, Zach, you'll get a text about how Clemson's whining about the officials. The officials didn't cause the outcome of the game. But it does change things an awful lot coming out of that one. This is one of those games where, because of the field position, Clemson's margin of error was so small. And, you know, when you're playing in Alabama, your windows to throw the ball are going to be smaller. And thus, so your catch radiuses of your wide receiver need to be bigger, and your toughnesses of your wide receiver need to be bigger. One of the things I thought last night was Alabama's secondary was very physical against Clemson's wide receivers, and T. Higgins' injury, you know, you could tell that he was not 100%. He only plays a few plays, that they targeted him one time, and then he didn't get to hurt his foot earlier in practice. And we didn't know that going in, but it's pretty obvious that when he couldn't go after that, that there was that physical, you know, 50-50 ball guy. Overton was not a factor in the game last night. Thought that might have been a little bit for him there. In the end, Alabama's physicality on defense was the major difference in the game. And as a result, Clemson had, I think I'm right saying, 14 first downs. The Tigers had 188 total yards. Tigers were 124 yards passing and had just 104 net rushing yards in the game last night. So you give Alabama's defense, their scheme, their motivation, their chip on the shoulder that they had last night, you give them all the credit in the world for that. To Zeke up next in Simpsonville. Good morning, Zeke. Thanks for hanging on, man. Happy New Year to you.
What's up, brother? That game cost me a bottle of fine bourbon to my buddy back in Kentucky and $50. But, man, Mickey, I tell you what, I watched that whole game, and you just nailed it, man. Yeah, there were some bad calls, no doubt. But when you get that turnover to start the second half, your defense does its job. It gives you momentum. It gives you field position. It says, here you go. Can you put together about a 22-yard drive? And you get three plays for negative yards. To me, that was a big punch in the gut right there, man, to go out. Now it's 10-6, but I thought if you could have punched in there, gone 10-10, a big momentum change might have happened. But, you know, at the end of the day, you nailed one thing, Mickey, and I'll just say this. Bad calls, bad everything. Kelly Bryant was running for his life last night. And I don't blame a quarterback when he's running for his life all night. Receivers can't get open. Tailbacks aren't blocking for him. Man, there's a lot of big angry men coming at him. And, you know, my hat's off to him. I thought he competed. First interception, not his fault. You got to block that guy coming in. And then the second one, tries to make a tough throw. He's trying to compete, and, you know, it is what it is. But, hey, like you said, Mickey, last week before the game, you can't complain when your team's in the Final Four once again for the third straight year in a rebuilding year when you have the youngest team out of those four teams. You know what you got coming back. You don't like losing, but, man, don't ever lose sight of the fact that you were playing last night and only four teams were playing last night. And I'll hang up and get your thoughts. Thanks, Mickey.
Thank you, Zeke. I appreciate the phone call. I think Zeke hit it right when he talked about the failure to get more than a field goal out of the drive that started the second half. For the numbers, because you get caught up in it last night, just reviewing the numbers. The fumble happened. Alabama took over the second half of the 22-yard line. The first play of the second half was fumble. Clemson took it over at Alabama 20. A Kelly Bryant quarterback run for minus 2 yards. A slant pass to Feaster, not a slant pass, that's a slant, but a swing pass to Feaster that lost 3 yards. And then a quarterback rush for no gain back to the 25-yard line. Give Alex Spence a lot of credit. Hit the field goal. Clemson takes it to 10-6 right there. I thought that was probably the second biggest series of the game. And looking at it, I think the biggest series of the game was after that is 10-6. Alabama starts at their own 27-yard line. They go 3 and out. Clemson takes over at their own 32-yard line. After just a 38-yard Scott punt, Bryant throws to Kane for 11 yards. After an incomplete pass, you see ETN rush for 8 yards. Kelly Bryant gets a first down out to midfield on a 6-yard scramble. ETN then goes from the Alabama 43-yard line, goes for 8 yards on first down. On second and 2 at the Alabama 35, trailing 10-6 with under 10 minutes going to third quarter. You got a chance to get a first down there, get it to about the Alabama 30-yard line. You punch it in. If you can find a way to punch it, even a field goal, 10-9. Instead, you throw it. Bryant's hit. The ball ends up to Ron Payne's hands, and Alabama takes over. He runs it down. After the penalty, he runs it down to the Clemson 27-yard line. So that play completely flipped the field and went, and Alabama scores on that drive. And so instead of now being down by one or being up in the game, after that, you know, the Alabama starts at 27-yard line. Now the Crimson Tide, they're up by 11 points. And at that point in time, having to drive the ball was very, very difficult. Then on the first play, the pick six. So that was it. You're talking about the game was over at the what minute mark was that? At that 4-minute stretch right there, from the 10-minute mark down to the or actually 5-minute stretch down to 5:35 in the game. That was it. And the game was over 24-6 at that point in time. So that stretch of plays, it was about 10 plays in there in the third period, kind of set the tone for it. And from there on, Alabama went on to win 24-6. 654-ROAR, 654-7627 is our phone number. You can reach us here on our phone lines. Text lines, let me get back on our Twitter feed. By the way, since I'm out, we will give you this. Skip on Twitter, at Mickey Politan. After Saban thought he got screwed on the last play last year, did anyone really think Clemson would not get a fair shake by the Zebras last night? I don't know. You hope for it. And I don't know if it was a bias thing or not. I'm not sure of that. But it was certainly not the case last night. Let me get to Dave in Simpsonville. Good morning, Dave. I appreciate you hanging on, man. How you doing this morning?
Doing great. Good morning. You guys have a very safe trip coming back up the road.
You know, the tone I thought was set on the opening kickoff when Etienne just got blown up.
Yeah.
And you could tell Alabama was coming at full force. They were not going to be intimidated. They were not going to be lucked out or whatever you want to call it out of this year. And I thought, too, that the offensive line was overwhelmed last night. There was 15 and 20 guys on the field for Alabama's defense, it seemed like, throughout the entire night. I didn't think their offense did anything that we didn't expect. As a matter of fact, they weren't pristine. They weren't all that great. Would you give them a short field, they're going to make those. They're going to make the scores, and we knew that going in. But I just thought that defense had something to prove, giving up over 1,000 yards over the last 2 years. So, and I'll take this off the air. What was the time of possession, and what was Clemson's final yardage? And you guys take care and have a safe trip back.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Final time of possession last night, Alabama had it for 32 minutes and 11 seconds. Clemson had it for 27 minutes and 49 seconds. That's not a huge disparity there. You mentioned the defense. Clemson total yards, by the way, the other thing you want to know, Alabama had 261, Clemson had 188. You would think in a college football playoff that if you hold somebody to 261 yards, you've got a pretty good chance at it, a chance at winning. And in looking at it, you held Damian Harris last night. You held him to 19 carries for 77 yards. And oh, by the way, he is the best back they've got by far. And that wasn't the case the last couple of years, but that's the case now. He's the best back. You held Jalen Hurts 11 carries for 40 yards in the game. And you held Bo Scarborough to 12 carries for 24 yards. And so you felt good about that. Alabama carried it 42 times for 141 yards. You held them to under 3.5 carry. They averaged 3.4 yards a carry. Hurts last night in the passing game, 16 of 24 through the air, 120 yards, two touchdowns, but no interceptions was a big key there, whereas Bryant had two interceptions. You held Calvin Ridley to four catches for 39 yards. Henry Ruggs caught two for 25. Bo Scarborough caught two for 16. By the way, Najee Harris caught one for 22. He's a monster. He's the next one. He's a great-looking back there. But you did a great job against the tight end. Irv Smith had one catch for 6 yards. You did a great job, I think, on holding Alabama down on both sides of it. The unfortunate part of it is, with the field position the way it was and with Alabama's defense the way it was, dominating at all three levels, it made it very, very difficult on Clemson, no doubt about that. Our friends at Trail want to wish you a happy new year. And I got a newsletter from Trail about all the great things going in. They had just their best year ever last year. This year will be even better, and they're going to do it again. They keep adding great people. They keep building great projects out there, great buildings out there. Now, they won't build a single-family home, but anything else you need constructed in this world, they'll take care of it for you in the upstate of South Carolina. Trail, 2018, you'll see more Trail signs, more Trail trucks, more Trail vans, more Trail people. You'll continue to see Trail everywhere, and for the right reason, because you're talking about an unbelievable team that they've assembled. It's TREHEL.com. TREHEL.com is Trail. Call them when you even just think about building it. Do we need to build or not? Let Trail help you with that decision. 800-319-7006. 800-319-7006. I'll tell you this, you won't deal with better people in helping you make that decision than you will get when you deal with Trail and Will Huston, the great folks there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Phone lines and tweets. It's the Reaction Tuesday edition from Louisiana. More after this.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 16% or less than 6? The answer is obvious. LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.49% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to LightStream.com/sports. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 16% APR, LightStream could save you thousands in interest. And because LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to LightStream.com/sports. That's LightStream.com/sports. LightStream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Available when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Advertised rates, terms, and promotions are subject to change without notice. Conditions and limitations apply. Visit Lightstream.com for important terms and conditions.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color. What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers. Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson, your independent local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
Meet Chris, a real person who took the Health Dare 90 Day program.
Hi, my name's Chris, 39, husband, father, talk radio listener. I heard about it on the radio, listening in to some of the morning shows. It sounded like a plan that was doable. Incredibly skeptical. Tried countless weight loss programs before, and I decided, you know, after a while of going back and forth to finally come in and have the consultation. It all came down to seeing a picture of me and my family. You know, I'd gotten to a very unhealthy weight. I was pretty much desperate at that point. Figured I'd give it a shot. It really wasn't as difficult as I thought it was going to be. The 90 days, I had lost 64 pounds and 54 inches. Well, the Health Dare, it's given me the opportunity to be a better dad. After taking the Health Dare, it's given me the energy to play around with my son and be the dad that I've wanted to be.
Don't wait. Book your free consultation with the Health Dare today by going to iDareGreenville.com. That's iDareGreenville.com.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. Pick up a box for your business or church meeting. Share them with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. You will need to change your card to a federally approved Real ID to use it for air travel and access to federal facilities. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV, driving privileges in good standing, and a regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
You liked him before.
It's the Mickey Plyler Show.
So he's back with more.
On WCCP
105.5 The Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Speaking of cold as ice, Zach, can I get a weather update there? What are we? Oh, we're talking about highs. Well, give me a temperature now, if you can, please, sir.
Frigid. It is not warm. I think it's somewhere around the 15 or 16 degree mark at the moment.
Oh no! And then what are we talking about for a high today?
Somewhere in the 30s, but it'll be all right. I wish it just stayed cold though. We can get a little pond. Get the reflection pond frozen over there. We can have a quick skate. It'd be nice.
Nope. No, we're not doing that. Not doing that at all. Let me tell you about our friends at Zero Res, ZeroResGreenville.com. You know, they clean our carpets at our home. They clean our carpets at the station. No one can clean like Zero Res. They're the only ones with empowered water. That means no soil-attracting residue that's left behind, no detergents or harsh chemicals. This is empowered water, and it's really it's a patented bag. And that leaves your carpets softer and fluffier and they stay cleaner longer. They dry twice as fast, and they have the highest approval rating from a carpet Carpet and Rug Institute, the number one cleaning system in the nation by an independent testing laboratory. When they clean, there's nothing left behind. Right now, an unbelievable New Year's deal. Three rooms, $109, and free hallway. You heard me right. Three rooms, $109. And a free hallway when you mention my name. Lowest ones of the year. Get it done now. The guests are gone. The holidays are over. 558-7300, 558-7300, ZeroResGreenville.com. Make that appointment. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. And don't forget to ask about their air duct cleaning specials. We call this Reaction Tuesday rather than Reaction Monday because we're off yesterday and because of the game last night and a lot of folks on the way to work, and I hope you're safe out there. But reacting to Reaction Tuesday rather than Reaction Monday from the game, 654-ROAR is our Northland Communication phone line. On Twitter, Jason writes in at Mickey Pollard, also reaches at Mr. Orr 24. Jason says, third series substitutions kill me. First play, we give up a sack. Why? I'm not familiar with that one. I don't know on the third series who was in it, what normally in. They did not substitute as much last night. Well, Higgins was out. Amari Rodgers is going to have to play more. I can tell you that next year. But Higgins was not playing a whole lot. He played fairly early on. I didn't notice on the offensive line. I mean, I think Hyatt, I think maybe you put Maverick Morris in. Maybe you put Ankrum in rather than Pollard. Pollard for Ankrum, whoever started on that. But I didn't notice that being a factor. Clemson's starting offensive line and their whoever whoever they had just couldn't block anyway. So it was if you don't block, not a whole lot you can do. I'll say this, Zach. I've not heard a lot of play calling. You know, normally after every loss, I can write the show. And you guys just read the script. And it was, why do we call this play? Why do we play this player? It was clear that we weren't ready to play. The referees beat us. A loss in any sport, and baseball is the umpires, the rest of them is referees. And why do we do this? Why do we take the pitcher out? We should let the pitcher in. We should have pinch hit for this guy. I mean, hindsight tells us on all these things. Pleasantly surprised that I hadn't heard a whole lot of play calling issues from last night, Zach. But my question to be that I was prepared for when we do question play calls is, what play would you call? You know, what formation do you run? What play do you call? Because the old axioms of football is, if you can't block, then what formation you want to run? Who you want to get it to? You tried the quick screen game. That didn't work a whole lot. You tried to run the ball. It didn't work a whole lot. Maybe move the pocket a little more. I would have thought maybe throw some more fades on the outside. But Deion Kane, that's not his deal. When you throw it, he drops it. And he can't compete for the ball in the air. And so that's a wasted down there. There was no vertical stretching of the defense last night. That's just really not who they are and what they do. And as a result, I don't know what play Zach could do in hindsight, is there anything you'd have done a whole lot differently?
I mean, hindsight is the greatest teacher, right? It's the best coach. But looking back at it, what am I going to say here? Yeah, I want to run the ball in that second and two there. I want to not throw a pick six. I want to do things differently, yes, but what are you going to do after last night? There's nothing you can do. They're the better team.
Yep, great point. Let's get Georgia Greg in on our Northland Communication phone lines. Greg, congratulations and good luck Monday night.
Thank you, Mickey. Thank you. I'm going to give you a couple days, like I said, in fairness, to see the second half of the game, and we can talk about next week a little bit. I wanted to call in and just congratulate y'all for another great season. I mean, your program is, and I've told you this, you're entrenched at the top, and that's where I hope Georgia, not only this year but in the future, is working to be consistently there. But a great season by y'all, nothing to be ashamed of. Just y'all had a good season. I wanted to, a couple weeks ago, you said you called our seniors that returned six stars. First time I'd heard that. You ought to patent that. That's an awesome. You coined that phrase, and I think for y'all next year, I know you've got three or four potential first rounders on the line. If you can talk a couple of them to coming back, I mean, keeping those would be huge on your year next year. And as I'm sure you know, I really, like I said, y'all had a great season. And I look forward to talking to you in a few days about, you know, how we came back and what we've got to look forward to, a big challenge we have. But I know usually the day after the games is usually your Clemson format, and that's fine. I'll respect that, and I'll talk to you later in the week.
Well, Greg, congratulations again. Well, and I'm looking forward to that conversation when I hear that. Thanks a lot. In case you missed the first part of the show, first hour of the show, we talked about this. Why in the world the last football games of the championship conference championship season, that's the first weekend in December. You've got 1 month. Why in the world are we overlapping playoff games? I feel, Zach, is it okay to say this? I feel cheated as a college football fan. that I don't get to watch the Oklahoma and Georgia game in the second half. Now, look, you know, I could have stayed at home and flipped them back and forth. But I feel cheated that the only two games that matter, and they're going on at the same time. You know what? Screw the Rose Bowl parade. Screw the Rose Bowl. Screw the how it all works out that they have to start a certain time and all this stuff. Why in the world are you watching? And if you're going to do it that way, hold the game up. Hold the Clemson-Alabama game up.
They did, though. I mean, it was supposed to be 8:45. They moved to 8:50, and then it was finally 9 o'clock.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and look, we've got to do better jobs in stadiums, for this especially. Everybody in that stadium last night had a vested interest in the Georgia and Oklahoma game. And there's 72,000. And I know you're not making decisions on TV about what's going on in stadiums. But why not show the game? You got to get there. Look, with security, Zach, you know, you got security dogs everywhere, and you got these big bowl games now. You got these, you know, your metal detectors and your snipers on the roof. You got all this stuff everywhere, right? And I get it, and I'm glad that's the case. Pat me down, put the wand on me, make me walk through the stuff. But it's long lines to get in, okay? And so it takes a long time to get in there. And so, and I realize I made the decision to go to the game. I get it. But if you're going to get me in there and I got to get in an hour beforehand, put the other game on TV, on the big screen. What are we afraid of? Instead of showing some ad for somebody else, for some other soft drink or whatever, just put the game up there, man. I just, for the life of me, this thing is broken. You know, the Central Florida thing, I think you made a pretty good point, or Colin made a good point earlier. I know you've been high on Central Florida all year. They go undefeated, and they don't really have a chance to think. We've got to change the way this thing works. We've got to keep tweaking this deal here. And I know next year the semifinals are not on January 1st, which is a nice deal there. But man, spread the games out where there's no way. Can you imagine a Final Four and college basketball not being in sight and the two games going on at the same time?
No.
You know why that happened? Because college basketball's not idiot. Because they wouldn't do it that way.
Idiot.
I'm telling you. Okay, here's a true story, all right? I'm at the game last night. And oh, by the way, has there ever been a sporting event in the world where cell service actually works?
No, never. Never in the history of the world.
I could put a man on the moon, and I can't get a cell signal.
Mm-hmm.
So the people around us, as the Clemson game started, okay, I mean, it was 31. When we left the hotel, it was 31-17. I actually saw the field goal. Some people didn't see the field goal. A guy I'm sitting beside is a good friend of mine. He goes, it's 31-14. What? I went, no, they actually kicked the field goal in the last play, 50-something-yard field goal last play of the first half. Got it. So then you go to... as we're walking down,
oh, Rex Dex hit the field goal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, man.
Dude, those things are thick.
Oh,
goodness gracious.
Coca-Cola bottles at the end of them. So we're walking down, and we look up at a bar as we pass down. We've got about a 20-minute walk, okay? Got it, yeah. You look up, hey, it's Georgia's got it, 31-24. Georgia cut the lead down. Oh, good, okay. Next thing we hear, 31 all. We get in the stadium, and we look up. And there's a scoreboard that somebody flashed across, whatever. Somebody said, hey, Georgia's got the lead. Oh, okay, 38-31. Great comeback for Georgia. Oh, now it's tied up. Okay. It's going into overtime. Oh, but we're going to start. Oh, and Alabama scores, and we're starting overtime. And then it's like, this is true. A guy tells me, hey, Georgia won 38-35. How do you know that? It's on your phone. Okay, good. So you take that as the gospel. 15 minutes later, you find out. Oh, no, double overtime. Oklahoma made it 38 all. Or whatever, you know, 45-30, whatever the score was, 45-30, whatever it was. I don't even know. One of the two biggest games in college football all year long. I don't even know. I'm the biggest college football fan ever. Don't even know because you're going on at the same time with no cell service. Fix the thing, man. This is one of the most absurd. I think they ought to be embarrassed by people. You advertise the heck out of it for 6 months. The playoffs. You remember the little cartoons and Saban and Dabo and playoffs and Dr. Pepper here and playoffs. And then you don't even get to watch it? You can't watch both games? You got to pick and choose which game you want to watch? Man, you ought to absolutely be embarrassed how that thing turned out. I'm on my soapbox. And I know you don't count for double overtime. But still, there's going to be weather. There's going to be something's going to happen. Who knows? Don't even within the realm of possibility that they could overlap with each other. Anyway, somebody smarter than me has got to figure that stuff out. Carolina Flooring Specialist. I know this. I know how to tell you about what Daniel and Manuel Parham are doing as Carolina Flooring Specialist. 404-8158. Call them today. I know they came down here, but they'll Tim Worley will call you back today, and he'll get you set up for 2018.